Amen. Good morning. I noticed from those pictures, I'm starting to realize this, that Tony Tullio doesn't own a shirt that's not a motorcycle shirt. If you notice him, every single shirt, his closet is just full of motorcycle shirts. But it's awesome, brother. We love you, man. I'm excited about this sermon series. When I saw in the schedule that I was going to be able to preach in this sermon series to contend for more, I got excited. Because any time that we can be challenged to grow closer to God, to have a better relationship with God, that's exciting. Amen. Isn't that exciting news that we can grow closer to God? So I'm excited to preach in the sermon series. Last week, I was with my wife, Lisa. We were sitting down talking, and she began to tell me about a dream she had. In her dream, we were at her parents' house in Westchester. We were in their backyard. It was her mom and dad, Lisa, myself, and our two boys. And she noticed while we're hanging out there that something started to happen in the sky, and it looked familiar to her. And then she realized that the sky began to open up. And in fact, what was happening was it was the end times, and God was coming to bring us home. Yeah, that is exciting news. But in that moment, I actually began to question my salvation, because while Lisa's dreaming about the end times, I'm sitting there in bed dreaming about being a superhero fighting crime, and my wife is dreaming about God coming back to take us home. I need to work on my salvation, because clearly I'm doing something wrong. But
thanks, Joe. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Right. So as we're there in the backyard, it's getting intense, and the heavens are opening up, and Lisa's trying to explain to the boys what's happening, and we're getting excited, and suddenly she hears God's voice, and this is what God says to her. He says, "You could have told more people about me." And as he says this, she realizes out of her peripheral vision that there's a crowd forming behind her, and when she turns, she recognizes faces. These are all people that she was encountered and didn't tell about God. Wow. See, I believe that God certainly is coming, and he's coming soon, but what I think this dream is about, it's a warning for us that we have more work to do, that we're not done yet. We have to tell more people about God. I think that dream was for all of us to hear, which is why I'm sharing it with you. And I'll be the first to tell you, I could be honest, that there would be a crowd of people behind me too. There are times when I had the opportunity to speak life into somebody and to tell them about Jesus, but some fear, I don't know what it is, there's a hesitation. And I think there are a few things that can happen to us, and I'm just going to go through two. One thing is, I think there is that fear. A fear of, are they going to think something different about you? Are your friends going to start to call you names? Are they going to say you're a Bible thumper? Is your relationship with them going to be jeopardized because now you're sharing Jesus with them? Is it going to make your workplace uncomfortable? Sometimes there's a fear in us because we don't want people to think different, so we don't want to tell them about Jesus, because sometimes the initial reaction is them putting their guard up. But I promise you, if you contend for more, if you tell people, more people about God, maybe at first, there'll be a little bit of hesitation, and they may say a few things, but I promise you that if they grab a hold of the hope that they can have in Jesus, they're going to be thanking you that you were honest with them and that you told them about God and that you weren't afraid to share the gospel. Amen. The second thing I think is what Pastor Ryan was kind of sharing some last week is that we believe that God can do anything. We believe that he can change lives. We believe he breaks chains and he tears down walls and he does all these things that he can lead somebody to himself. But the problem is we believe that that's great as long as he's doing that through somebody else. Yeah, God, you can do amazing things, but do it through someone else, because I'm not sure that I'm really good enough, that I'm capable to even doing that. We don't give ourselves a chance. But every single person in this room is equipped with everything they need to share the gospel, to tell more people about God, but we have to be willing to contend for more. That's this whole sermon series. The Greek meaning for contend is to strive for. It's to fight for something. It's to contend for more of him. And that's the way we should be living. We should be desperate to be closer to God. And I promise you, if you contend for more, if you get closer to God, it's going to be a lot easier for you when that time comes to share the gospel with somebody. it's going to be a lot easier for you to tell them about Jesus. I mean, the reason that we're all here, the reason I'm standing up here, right, is because somebody was out there contending for more. Somebody was fighting and striving to be closer to Jesus. And when the opportunity presented itself to speak into your life, they had the faith to do it because they were contending for more of God. Every single person in here is a result of somebody contending for more. And my challenge for us this morning is let's not just be somebody else's result contending for more. Let us contend for more so that we can be the one that has the faith, so we can be the ones that have the courage to speak up when we're in front of someone. God will give you the faith. He'll give you what you need if you're contending for more of him and you're striving. Let's not just be a result. Let ourselves also contend. It's great being the result, but we should also be contending for more. And I believe the scripture that God's going to go through this morning is going to help us to grow in our relationships. This morning, we're talking about living a life worthy of the gospel. And I think that if we live a life more worthy of a gospel, again, it's going to be a lot easier for us to tell people about Jesus. So let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians 1:27. Philippians 1:27. It says this: only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. I just want to focus on the very beginning part of this scripture. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. What does it mean to live a life that's worthy of the gospel? Are you living a life worthy of the gospel? This morning, I want to give you three things that you can do that'll help you to live a life more worthy of the gospel. There's more than just these three, but I'm going to give you these three. The first one is this, if you're taking notes. Number one, we must change the way we think. I know that before I was a Christian, and when I became a Christian, I realized how much I hated the way that I thought about things before I was a Christian. I wasn't raised a Christian, so I didn't have anyone tell me about God. We weren't even raised to believe in God, and my thinking was that. It was worldly things. I got a lot of my thinking from the things I watched on TV, the music I listened to, what my parents taught me, my education, the media. All these things gave me what I thought about. But then when I became a Christian and I started reading God's word and I started to listen to worship music and I got grounded in a church and I surrounded myself with Christian people learning new things, my thinking began to change. And that's what we need to do to change our thinking. You need to get into the word of God. Change the music you listen to. Watch things that are edifying to God. And if you do that, you're going to start to see your thinking change. And some of the things that happen are, I know like before Christ, you may see someone that's broken and hurting, and the world will say, you know, they got issues. Leave them alone. They're a mess. But now that you're a Christian and your thinking's changing, you're saying, I need to go talk to that person. That person needs the love of Jesus. I need to share the gospel with them. I'm not okay with them being broken. That's contending for more. We're not okay with people being hurting in this world or in this community. That's striving for more. We're not okay with that. And maybe some of you guys in here are in school still, or high school or college or whatever it is, and your old thought process was you see someone sitting by themselves and it's, you know, let them sit. They're weird. They're just going to sit by themselves. But now you have Christ. And now what you're thinking? Your thinking now is, I want to go sit with that person. They need a friend. That person needs someone that'll come beside them and be their friend and love on them and tell them about how awesome and how amazing Jesus is. And that's what he does for us. Amen? We need to change the way we think. The second thing, we must choose to let go of old ways of acting. We can't continue to live the life we lived before Christ. I want to read to you guys, if you would turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4, we're going to read 22 through 32. I just love the way Paul just goes through a whole list of things that we need to get rid of when we give our hearts to the Lord. Ephesians 4, 22 through 32. It should be up on the screen. Give you a second to get there. It says this. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Amen. That is a lot of stuff, but that is exactly what we have to work on getting rid of when we come to the Lord, when we come to Christ. We have to get rid of the old behaviors that constantly bring us down and drag us down. It's not easy. I know there are a lot of things that we may struggle with, but God has broken the chains that bound you. On the cross, and when you accept Him in your life, He broke the chains that bound you. For some reason, though, as Christians, the chains have already been broken, but what we do is we grab these chains and we put them back on ourselves. That doesn't make any sense. We put ourselves in prison. We want to be bound by these chains, but God broke those chains. You can walk in freedom. You don't have to live in that life anymore. You don't have to keep running to drugs. You don't have to keep running to alcohol or your fears or your depressions. God can deliver you from all of that. And when He died on the cross, He did that. He broke the chains that bound you. And sometimes, maybe, yes, it's hard when you're faced with those trials and that temptation, but what else did God do? He gave us the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does is that when we're faced with that temptation and we're standing before it, He says, no, that's not who you are anymore. You're not that same person. You are now whole in Christ. I have a great plan for your life. You're going to do amazing things in me. Come on, come with me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And we have a choice. Every single time you're faced with something, He comes up and He lets you know that you have a different direction you can go. And that there's freedom for you, and we have to respond. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and change those old ways of thinking. Amen? The third thing, we must put on the right character traits, or put on right character traits. I'm going to look at Galatians 5, 22 through 23. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Character traits. They're the character traits that we need to put on. We have to love one another. You have to be able to love your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, your family members. God has given us that. Love more people. Be joyful. Being joyful, joy is radiant. When you could be joyful in Christ, people are going to respond to that. They're going to see that there's something so different about you that they're going to want to know what it is. They're going to be drawn to you if you're joyful. And every day that we have the opportunity to be joyful, it's Christ in us. Remembering all the things He's done for us, that brings joy to me. Remembering the addictions that He saved me from and all the issues I had that He delivered me from, that brings joy. And every day, if you can just remember those things, not forgetting of all that God did for you, and allow that joy to well up. When it wells up, you're going to start to see people that are going to be contagious to what you're doing, and they're going to want to know more about God. Amen? More peace and patience and kindness. I just love this stuff. Goodness. Be faithful, gentle, Self-control is a huge part of all of this. Having self-control is one of the ways to get over those things that are dragging you down. Because you're always faced with a choice, and you have to have the self-control to choose to contend for more, to strive for more of God. Can the worship team come up, please? In the second part of this text, Paul is telling the church, are you living a life that's worthy of the gospel when I'm there with you and when I'm not there with you? Are you living a life worthy of the gospel when I'm with you, when I'm not with you? When I was in my early 20s, I was just saved a Christian for a few years, and I was so on fire for God in the church. I was going on missions trips. I was to like 6 different countries. I was so excited to do the things of God. I was on the worship team. I was serving. I was loving God. Anything I could do when I was with my Christian friends, I'm praying. But then I would leave the church setting. And I would live in the world. And if I wasn't in church, you would have no clue that I had a relationship with the Savior. In church, I'm living one life. And in the world, I'm just doing a completely different thing. Like I forgot everything that God saved me from. And what happened was, is it landed me in a rehab. I spent 4 months in a rehab, contending for more, fighting for my relationship with God. And that's what Paul is saying. He's like, are you living a life worthy of the gospel when you're here with your Christians and when you're in the church setting? And also when you're by yourself and nobody's looking at you. And when you're in your workplace, are you still contending for more of God in those settings? That's what God's looking for. He's looking for hungry, thirsty people that are willing to fight with everything they have for this relationship with Him. There is a broken, hurting world out there. And like God said in Lisa's dream, you could have told more people about me. We could tell more people. We can do better as the church, as individuals, as the body. God gave us Delaware County, Broomall, right here for this church to make a difference. But we need to contend for more. We need to be ready to run after God and to do everything that we can to strengthen our relationship. If you do that, if you fight for Him, you're going to start to see amazing things transpire around us, in your families, in your workplaces, with your friends, with people you never met. You're going to go to a grocery store and you're going to have a fire in you to pray for that person that the Holy Spirit told you to go pray for. You're not going to be afraid anymore. Fear is going to be broken. God loves you, and He wants to use you. That's why you're here, because He's got a plan for your life. And this sermon series we're in is encouraging us to go run after it. And if you run after it, He's going to bless you, and He's going to continue to love on you, and your guys' lives are going to be radically transformed. You're going to be able to do more than you ever thought or imagined you can do. Amen.